This morning we're going to look at a couple scriptures in Hebrews, and the title of the message is Let Us Hold Fast Our Confidence and Come Boldly to the Throne of Grace. Welcome, friends and guests, and everyone listening online this morning. We've been looking at some passages in the book of Hebrew, and this is what we're going to study today. So let's just ask the Lord to prepare our hearts to receive His word. Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence this morning. Lord, we sense your stirring today in your people. And Father, I just thank you for the teaching of your word. I thank you, Lord, that your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's able to pierce right between the soul and the spirit, the bone and the marrow, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that your word is precise. And God, as we study your word together today, Lord, I thank you, Father, that it is applied in each one of our lives exactly where it needs to go. And thank you, Lord, for that. Bless this time. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen, amen. It's good to see everyone in the house of the Lord this morning. We're going to go to Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. And if you'd like to, just go ahead and read the scripture with me. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. Thank you for reading with me. Let us hold fast our confession. And our confession of faith is our belief in Jesus. And it's based on several truths that we find in the scripture. And so we're going to look at some of the truths that we're to hold fast to. So in this verse, it starts right out with, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. So we're given an exhortation to hold fast our confession. And the reason is, right at the beginning, seeing then we have a great high priest. Jesus Christ is our great high priest. And Jesus has passed into the heavens, having come through his death and resurrection. The word pass means to come or to go through. And this is stating the truth of Jesus' ascension into the very presence and majesty of God the Father. He passed through the heavens into the holy sanctuary of God. Hold fast to this truth that Jesus Christ, he was born in this earth. He was crucified, buried, rose again, and ascended back to his Father. Hold to that truth. Don't let anyone take that away from you. The word heavens is plural. And the heavens in Psalm 19, it was in one of the opening this morning. If you were here for the opening, welcome. It was Psalm 19, and the scripture talks about how the heavens set forth a heavenly tabernacle. And so the scripture talks about three heavens, and the three heavens correspond with the earthly sanctuary and the tabernacle in which Aaron ministered. Now, we've been looking at some things in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And in the Old Testament, we see types and shadows and patterns that the Lord set forth, that he brought forth in the New Testament. And it's the designs of heaven that were patterned here on the earth as he was preparing people for his son to come. And so we're going to look at that. Aaron's tabernacle was an earthly tabernacle. And it consisted of three parts. I'm going to start with three. The outer court, the door of the court or the gate. And then he went into the holy place. the first veil or door of the tabernacle. And then he passed on to into the most holy place beyond the second veil. And in ministry, Aaron passed in through these entrances as he was functioning as the high priest for the children of Israel. There were many sacrifices that were made and rituals and plans that God had set forth. And Moses had talked to the people about all of the laws that God had set forth for them. You can read through that in the book of Leviticus. And Aaron was their high priest, and he was functioning in that capacity. But this was an example and a pattern of the tabernacle in heaven. And so we're going to look at that, Christ's heavenly tabernacle. There's the outer court, the atmospheric heaven. It's number three, the first heavens. Passing into the holy place, the planetary heavens, the second heaven. And then there is the most holy place, the third heaven, and the presence of God. So earth itself would correspond with the wilderness in which the earthly tabernacle was pitched. And so we see Aaron passed from the wilderness and finally into the presence of the ark of God, just like Jesus passed from this earth into the throne room of God. He passed through the heavenlies. I wanted to share a quote with you from Kevin Connor. As the apostle, he came from God for us, to us. As high priest, he returns to God for us, from us. Thus it means, if Jesus Christ is our great high heavenly priest, then all earthly priesthoods must be abandoned. All earthly sacrifices, ministrations, temple ceremonies, oblations have been abolished and abandoned by God himself in this church dispensation. This is forever. All is transformed to a heavenly sanctuary and a heavenly order. We have a heavenly order that God has passed into the heavens. His Son has come back to heaven. He came to earth for us. He went back to the heavens after his work was finished. On the cross, didn't he say, "It is finished. I have done the will of my Father." So let's consider the greatness of Christ's sacrifice. And that's on in Hebrews 9:23-24. And we're jumping in there at a therefore. Prior to this, the author of Hebrews is talking about the sacrifices that were ordained by God in the book of the law. And I'll just read it to you. It says, "This is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you. Then likewise, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin." So this is the greatness of Christ's sacrifice in the next two verses. "Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these." Once again, he's referring to the sacrifices that Aaron performed for the children of Israel. It says, "For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for," what's the word? "Us." He is the sacrifice and has appeared in the presence of God for us. By one sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the works of the devil were destroyed. And believers are made righteous and holy because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing can deliver a sinner from being condemned at the day of judgment except the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Hold fast to your confession. Hold fast to the truths of Jesus Christ and the finished work of the cross and what he's done for us. Jesus prays for us. Romans 8:34. It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, accomplished his work here on the earth. He ascended up through the heavens and he applied his blood on the mercy seat. And his blood continues to cry out mercy for you and I. And he sits at the right hand of the Father and he prays for us. He's our intercessor to the Father. He knows your every need. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're gonna go through this week because he's the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And our God knows all things. And he's faithful, and we can trust him, and he is praying for us. And that gives me confidence. That gives me an assurance that I do not want to let go of my confession, but I want to hold on fast to the things that God has established, because what God has established for us is eternal. It's eternal. It will not pass away. Thank you, Jesus. Seeing then, we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Woo! Hold fast your confession, because Jesus has done all of this for me. Jesus has done all of this for his church. We are the church. Jesus Christ loved the church so much, the scripture says, that he gave his life for the church. He shed his blood for us so that we could gather together as the body of Christ and do the works that he has assigned to us. He said, greater works than these shall you do. I'm going to the Father, but I am going to birth forth a church here in the earth, and the church will do the works that I did. So you are called to be a worker in the kingdom of God, representing the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell someone next to you, he's given me the power. We cannot of ourselves do anything. Tell someone he's given you the power. You know, many people deny that power. They deny the truth. They just let it drift away from them. They don't grab a hold of it. You know, the scripture says you got to hold fast to it. If we got to hold fast to something, then that means that we could lose it or someone could take it from us. Hold fast to the things that you have been taught. Hold fast to the things that the scripture says. Hold on tight. Tell someone, hold on tight. All right, we're going to go on to the next verse, 4:15. Jesus is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tested as we are, yet without sin. The weaknesses of our human nature. Jesus can be touched with the feelings that we have because he was tempted in all points like we are. But yet he was without sin, the scripture says, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet he was without sin. Just consider this for a minute. Jesus and Adam are referred to in the scripture as the first and the second Adam. And they are the only two men who were sinless when they were tempted by Satan to sin. There was no sin in them. Both of them were tempted from outside of themselves. And since the first Adam sinned, now all mankind is tempted both outside and inside because we're born in sin. Adam gave in to that temptation that was put before him. But Jesus Christ remained a sinless man. He was the perfect Lamb of God who was slain from the foundation of the world to take away our sins. He had to be a sinless man, a sinless sacrifice. You see, all of the priests that did the sacrifices for the children of Israel under the law, they were sinful men. And they could not take away the sins of the people. And neither could the sacrifices and the shedding of the blood take away the sins of the people. But Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, was crucified, sacrificed to take away our sin. What can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And you know, Jesus Christ is our heavenly high priest. However, that doesn't mean that he is not touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He's able to understand, the scripture says, and sympathize with our weaknesses and even the assault of temptation that comes on us. He's not beyond our reach because he's in heaven. On this earth, he was in a human body, just like ours. And he's been through the same things that we go through. So don't think that God can't identify with what's going on. Jesus knows all about your troubles. Hallelujah. He knows all about them. He's able to understand human nature perfectly. He knows the suffering. And probably more suffering because he was a sinless man. Jesus is merciful and he's a faithful high priest. He sympathizes with our weaknesses, the weaknesses of our human nature. He had no infirmities of his own, but he took on ours. He suffered human weariness. He was hungry. He was thirsty, and he had human limitations. And the scripture says he was tempted in all points as we are, but without sin. And you know, as I was reading that, I thought, well, I've got to read 1 John 2:15 through 18 because it shares with us the 3 points. He was tested in all points. There's 3 areas that we will be tested in. 1 John 2:15 and 18, not on the PowerPoint. I'm just going to read it. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So Jesus was holy. He hated iniquity and he loved righteousness. And Jesus suffered temptation throughout his life, even into the death of the cross. If you remember, he was even tempted to come down and save himself. And he said, I could call 10,000 angels. But he knew the Father's will was for him to hang on that cross for the sins of the world. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So Jesus suffered when he was tempted, and it says it in Scripture, Hebrews 2:17 through 18. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. When we are being tempted, we are to call on Jesus. The scripture tells us he is able to help you when you are being tempted. He is able to help you with whatever is going on in your life, whatever difficulty you're having, whatever trial you're going through. Jesus Christ knows all about your troubles. He's able to help those who are being tempted. You've got to call on the Lord. When I have a temptation, I'll often call on the Lord and say, that's not who I am. That's not who he created in me. And I'm not going to have any part of it. I refuse it in Jesus' name. I refuse it in Jesus' name. Lord, give me strength. You know the struggles. Everybody has them. Everybody has them. It doesn't matter how long you have served the Lord, you will still be tempted, because the devil, he is out to get leaders. He's out to get those who are letting their light shine. He is after you because he wants to put out your light if he can. But don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Don't take the bait. Don't take the bait. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're able to help me when I'm being tempted. Just thank the Lord this morning that he's able to help us. He's able to help your children. You know, that's a good prayer to pray. Help my children today, oh God, when they're being tempted. Lord, help them to cry out to you. We've got to pray one for another. Help the people of God. Help the body of Christ across this world, Lord God, to cry out to you for help in times of trouble. And we thank you, Lord, that you hear us. Having a temptation is not a sin, but yielding to the temptation is the sin. Temptation means to test, to make trial. And James 1:12-13 says this: Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. James 1:14-15. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. 6 points in that scripture. Everyone is tempted when they're drawn away by their own desires and lust. You can't say, the devil made me do it. 3, and are enticed. 4, when desire or lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is full grown, it brings forth death. You can see the progression of how the enemy tempts us and takes us down this slippery slope if we give in to 1, 2, 3, 4. It just keeps going. So we need to resist the devil from the get-go. Amen. James said, submit yourself unto God. That's where we call on Jesus, because he's able to help us when we are being tempted. He's able to help us. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. You know, you have authority over the enemy. Jesus gave his life, and he gave us authority over the enemy. Thank you, Lord. Let's go on to Hebrews 4:16. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Come boldly is to come with freedom, frankness, without a sense of shame, fearlessly, and in confidence. Thank you, Lord. Let us, therefore, because of all of these truths, because of all of these things Jesus has done for us, he came to earth. He fulfilled his Father's will. He ascended back up into the heavens, and he is in the throne room with God right now, sitting at his right hand, praying for us that we get this revelation and this understanding that his throne is a throne of grace. We receive mercy and we find grace to help us in our time of need. We shouldn't be running away from God, but running to God. We can boldly come, even if we have committed a sin, done something wrong, and we are feeling guilty. That is the time to get to the throne of God, to receive the grace and the mercy that he has for us. You see, no one could have done that in the earthly tabernacle. No one could have gotten into the holy place where Aaron was allowed to go. No one could have just boldly gone in there. Do you see Jesus Christ? He made a way for us to be able to confidently come to the throne of grace. It's God's throne of unmerited favor towards us. We don't deserve it. We find mercy and grace. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. Mercy is the opposite of judgment. James 2:3 says mercy triumphs over judgment. We have a merciful high priest. Thank you, Lord. If we didn't, none of us would be alive today. He would have zapped us. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. Thank you, Lord, for giving us what we don't deserve. Thank you, Lord. Grace is the opposite to law. We can be confident that compassion and help is always available, everywhere, at all times. Grace flows from the throne of grace. Mercy flows from a merciful and faithful high priest, our great high priest, Jesus Christ. When you read the Gospels, there's a continual cry for mercy from those who would come to Jesus. A continual cry, have mercy on me. They went to him in their time of need, and grace and mercy flowed from the Lord Jesus Christ. God's desire is to help those who come to him. Do you believe that? He wants to help us. And God's throne is available. And we can even come boldly. Because we're told we can come boldly. Even when we're struggling and going through something. In the midst of your darkest hour, you can still come to the throne of grace and find mercy. God is our high priest who's touched by our experiences and our struggle, especially in our fight against temptation. He died to redeem us, not reject us. And so many people struggle with a spirit of rejection that it's difficult for them to believe that God would just accept them. And you see in the world how that spirit of rejection is getting stronger and stronger with all of the bullying that's going on. All of the bullying that's going on. It's always gone on. I remember when Micah was just a little boy. He was riding the school bus and an older boy in front of him, for no reason, turned around and slugged him in the face as hard as he could. For absolutely no reason. And that was the last time Micah ever rode a bus. Vanessa or I took, because you hear parents crying out, no matter how much they try to fight this, it continues to the point that children are committing suicide because other children are being so ruthless. And you hear them on the news talking about how they're going to solve this problem. The problem is we took God out of schools. The problem is people took God out of their families. They took going to the house of worship out of their families. They took the Bible study and the Bible reading like it's insignificant and it's just not that important anymore. That's what we need. What the world needs is Jesus. Jesus is the answer. Getting Jesus back into the school system. But boy, they don't want to hear anything about the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I guess last Sunday was Super Bowl, and I didn't even say anything about the Super Bowl, but there was that one commercial they were talking about that mentioned the name of Jesus, and boy, some of the liberals just had a fit because there was a commercial about Jesus and said, well, they didn't think that Jesus would be paying that much money for a commercial. You know what? Money is nothing to Jesus. Come on, church, money is nothing. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns it all. Money is nothing to him. It doesn't matter how much it would cost to get the name of Jesus out at the Super Bowl game. It should be there. It should be there. Somebody say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We can boldly come to the throne of grace because of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and we know we're going to find grace and mercy there. We obtain, we receive mercy at the throne of grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just a few more scriptures. Jesus offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Hebrews 10:12-13, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God from that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. We can come boldly before the throne of grace because he has conquered death on our behalf. Acts 2:24, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Woo! Thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:55-57. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. He has conquered death, so that for us, death has lost its sting. It's lost its sting. We come boldly to the throne of grace because he's entered in as our forerunner. He prepared the way for us. He has gone before us. He said, I prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. Hallelujah. So we can come boldly this morning, boldly to the Lord. So today is the day to repent of your sins and ask Jesus Christ into your life. You need the Lord. You need the Lord because you have no promise of tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Choose, the scripture says, this day who you will serve. Every morning when you get up, choose this day who will you serve. Our last scripture, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not willing that anyone should perish. And so today I encourage you, renew your commitment to the Lord. And if you've never made a commitment to the Lord, today is your day to do that. Jesus is here right now. He is able to save you. His blood washes away our sins. He puts a robe of righteousness on us. And regardless of where we've been or what our past is, the Lord Jesus Christ forgives us and gives us grace and mercy. We couldn't even repent before the Lord if the Spirit of the Lord didn't draw us. And so if you feel the Spirit of the Lord drawing you this morning in your heart in some way to repent before the Lord or to ask the Lord to forgive you for something, sometimes there's just this little thing that's nagging you, like just keeps popping up in your mind. That little thing can turn into a big thing. And just asking the Lord to forgive you and release that to the Lord this morning. Let's just take a minute here to do that. Just bow your heads. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that your desire is for us to be close to you. Your desire is to help us. Lord, we can't do this on our own. But Lord, whatever is hindering or just causing some troubles in our minds today, we ask you, Lord, to help us release that to you. Often I'll say to the Lord, Lord, I lovingly and willingly release this to you. I can't do anything else about it. I lovingly and willingly give it to you. Remove the trouble from our souls this morning, Lord. Remove the trouble from our soul. I just sense there's someone here that's struggling with financial needs. And wherever you are, whoever you are, there's probably more than one. The Lord hears your cry, and the Lord knows the struggle right now that you're going through. It's like you're wrestling with something in your soul. You're wrestling with what to do. Decisions, decisions. And the Lord says, I'll give you the wisdom. I give you the direction. I give you the clarity. I'm pouring out my grace upon you today. I'm pouring out my grace upon you today. For the Lord says, I'm able to shift some things in the earth realm. And so, Lord, shift whatever needs to be shifted today in the earth realm. Shift it in our lives, Lord. Whether it's with finances or unforgiveness, sickness, offenses, whatever it is, Lord. We ask for a divine shift this morning. A divine shift in our lives, Lord, that will cause us to move forward. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you're breaking off chains this morning that are holding people, trying to hold them back from running to you. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're removing the grief and the sorrow and the pain from our hearts today, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're touched today by the experiences that the people sitting right here have gone through over this last year. Lord, you are touched by those experiences. You are touched by the suffering that has gone on in their lives. You are touched, oh God. You are the one that's able to help them, oh Lord. So, Father, pour in your mercy. Pour in your grace today. Pour in your love and your acceptance today. Lord, as we boldly come right where we're at before your throne, oh God, we boldly come this morning to receive the mercy that you're pouring out. Just lift your hands to the Lord and let him just begin to pour out his mercy into your life. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We receive your mercy this morning, Lord. We receive it, Lord. Pour it into our lives, Lord, into our minds, into our soul, oh God. Pour it in, oh Lord. We need your mercy today. Thank you, Jesus. We have a faithful high priest. Hamashi Hapasita. Thank you, Lord. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he is praying for us today. Draw close to me, he says, and I'll draw close to you. Father, I thank you, Lord. We press into your presence this morning, Lord. We press into your presence, oh God. We come before you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We're a desperate people this morning, Lord. We need you, oh God. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's ministering to your heart this morning. Just allow Him to minister to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You reach into those areas, Lord, that no human being can touch. No doctor can cure. But your love, your grace, your mercy is healing our souls this morning. Healing our souls this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Mm.